The opinions of Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
My friends are degenerates, but I never change them. Liars, cheats, and hypocrites, not the time for saving.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you are good to go. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, so you are, at AJ is the real. At Aaron is Blitzed at Degenerates 975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. You missed the first hour. Some pretty good stuff there. Had some soccer with Glenn Davis there, talking about the Bundesliga. We got into the whole Michael Jordan thing, which, you know, dragged on for more than I would have hoped, but there was good stuff there. And a lot more to come here. We also talked to Josh Ennis, whose show debuted today, if you didn't get a chance to hear it. Like the first hour of this show, all available on podcastarena.com. And I have a pet peeve. Can I throw this out there real quick? And then
okay.
This is the last I'm saying about any of this. Like Nick's tweet, until LeBron wins six championships, there's no conversation. All right, I hate...
That's what I'm saying about the Joe Montana thing.
Yeah, I hate the there's no debate, there's no conversation, this guy's the best, period. That's in your mind. And to, just because you put a, say, period... Or just because you say there's no debate, it doesn't make you right. It makes you lazy. And I that's just a pet peeve of mine. Sorry, Nick. Nothing personal. And I want to thank everybody who took part in the... I did the seminar yesterday, and it was a lot of fun. People really enjoyed it. Had some people from the station. Jason Braddock was on there, and Jerry, and Jake Asman, and everybody seemed to learn something. So... It reminded me of why what I liked about teaching, which was the actual teaching. I hated everything else about it, dealing with people who were managers who had no management training. They were basically just teachers who got promoted. I hated it, but I loved the actual teaching aspect of it. So it was a lot of fun. People got to make fun of my hair. And 713 asks, seems like you only get about a 20,000-foot overview on it. Is there a more in-depth presentation? I'm a sales manager. Might be good to set up for my sales team. Yes. Because I did it very broad because it was a very broad audience. When I did these for, as I've done the presentation for our sales team way back in the day, I've done it for lawyers, I've done it for nurses to help communicate with doctors and patients better. I always tailor it more specifically and get into a lot more detail on things like that. This was just kind of the broad overview, and people seem to enjoy it, and hopefully they took something out of it. I had fun doing it, so that's all that really matters. And yeah, I might do another one. Mostly those people making fun of my hair, which
it sounds like a great time, actually.
Yeah, it was. It was. St. Patrick asked, if you didn't introduce relegation to the NFL, for example, how would that work with draft picks? That's the problem, because you've set the system up this way. I don't know that you could do it with the NFL. I'd like to see it with like college football. Like if you go out and you're Kansas every year, then you get dropped to the AAC or something, and whoever wins that championship moves up. But there's no way to make that work because of the way the contracts are set up.
We had a discussion on Twitter about the greatest three-point shooters of all time, and Jerry Bowe is the one who brought it up. He said, if Steph's the best three-point shooter in history, which he is, what's the gap between him and, say, Reggie Miller and Ray Allen? What's your order there? Insert whoever. 1, 2, 3. And I said probably an unpopular opinion, but Steph 1, then a huge gap. Kyle Korver 2, Ray Allen, Clay, and then Reggie would be my top 5. And Jim says, if Korver, why not Steve Kerr? And Steve Kerr was a really great shooter. Don't get me wrong. Steve Kerr was also like, he didn't really play that much. Steve Kerr, believe it or not, averaged less than 2 3-point attempts per game in his career. So it's hard for me to put him in that same conversation with those guys when he was more of a bit player. Kyle Korver has taken, I want to say, I got to look it up to make sure I'm not talking out of line here. Yeah, Kyle Korver, he's in the top 10 in shots, three-point shots attempted, and he's second amongst those guys that have that many shot attempts. He's second behind Steph Curry in percentage. He's fourth all-time in threes made behind behind Ray Allen, Reggie Miller, and Steph Curry. But yeah, Steve Kerr's percentage was there. He just didn't shoot as much. So that's why it's hard for me to put him on that list.
Okay, so can the people hear me now? Apparently everything I did at the top, no one heard.
I heard you.
So I guess the stream doesn't hear it. It's the way this thing is set up. I got to fix it during the break.
All right.
I think terrestrial still hears you just fine.
But they can hear me on air. Okay, that's good, because I actually felt like I had some really good comments there.
I thought those comments were horrible.
Well, that's your opinion. There's no debate.
It's just like
period.
Your opinion, man.
713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Andy in Port Arthur says, you guys are the best sports talk team in Houston. There's no debate, period.
Period.
Yeah, that's, you know, just if you do that stuff, man, just kind of check yourself a little bit. So, yeah, apparently everybody's saying, I can't hear you on the stream. So why don't we just go to break now so that you can see if we can fix this. Is that okay? Let's just go to break.
All right, I got to tell you guys about Allstate. Allstate Siding and Windows. Listen, if you are in the market for new siding, new windows, it could actually be a great time to do that stuff, and you can save some big time money as well with Allstate Siding and Windows. You'll get the best deal with Allstate. $2,500 off siding, 30% off all windows, and the great deal, the spring special, no payments for 2 years. How about that? So you're going to get 2 years without payments, but you'll be saving 40% on your electricity bills with new vinyl windows. I mean, it's just a great deal. We've had a couple of our listeners do it lately, and they've all said great results. They love the professionalism. They love the product. These guys are safe when they come in. They're coming in with a crew that is keeping your safety in mind and their safety in mind. They've got senior discounts, first responder discounts, military discounts, cash discounts. It's a great company, family-owned and operated for over four generations. You want the best rate, call Allstate. Allstate Siding and Windows, 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936 or allstatesidingandwindows.com.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, and hopefully you can hear me on the app now. And then just to reiterate something, somebody had asked about the seminars. I do a lot more in-depth ones, and I've got time now. So if you're interested, hit me up on email, fower975@gmail.com. I'm about to get really, really busy again here in about 2 weeks. So if you want to schedule one, be happy to do it. Pretty affordable. So 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Did you get any TV in this weekend? What did you think of the UFC card?
I thought it was pretty solid, and I made some money on it. That's all that mattered to me.
Yeah, so you made the people some money, I'm guessing.
That's right.
Yeah, I had fallen asleep. I was going to text you to get some picks, and then I dozed off, and when I woke up, it's like, oh, crap, I forgot. So I probably already missed the good ones. And I was I played online poker until, God, 3 in the morning Saturday, and the wife comes down about 2:30 and says, what the hell are you doing? I'm like, playing
Jake
poker.
Jake from State Farm?
It's like, I'm playing poker. And she goes, this time of night? And she didn't like my response, which was, listen, in the Ronaverse, time is a meaningless construct. It didn't go over very well. So probably won't be able to play until 2:30 in the morning again.
Oh, wow.
But what are you going
to
do?
One day we'll get back to normal and we'll go to sleep at normal times and things like that.
Yeah, I'm doing better with that, but weekends I pretty much just like to stay up late and do stuff. And, you know, it's the only way I can sleep is if I stay up late, because if I go to bed at a reasonable hour, I'm up at 3 a.m. anyway. So, it's just one of those things, man. It is the Ronaverse, but we're getting back slowly, and I guess more stuff open today. Your gym's open again now if you want to go.
No, Mom, you know me. I'm going to pass.
Yeah, I already canceled my membership, and I've got stuff on the way to put in the garage, so I'm pretty stoked about that. Pat in the 409 says, just scrolling on YouTube during the break, and a sports map video with the bench popped up. That's the first time that's happened. Yeah, we've done some cool stuff with that where Google searches are showing a lot more of our stuff now. So, 713-780-ESPN. So I watched a few things this weekend. I watched that kind of goofy movie, The Wrong Missy. I don't know if you saw that one. It was like number one on Netflix for a while. It's a new, it's basically a very predictable comedy, but it's very funny. And then I landed on this show called Upload, which is on Amazon that just dropped.
I've heard of this show. It's like a sci-fi show, though, isn't it?
Sort of. I really didn't think I would like it, and I got to tell you, that show was really good. The premise is that they have it set up to where if you're about to die, they can upload all your information into a computer, and you can kind of live in this computer world. And it's on the surface, it sounded kind of silly, but then I watched it, and I'm like, damn, this is pretty good. So I don't know if there's going to be a season two. I sure hope there is, but I really enjoyed it, and it's different. And, you know, obviously it's not the greatest show ever or anything like that, but if you're looking for something to watch, there's only 8 episodes. They're not, I think they're only like 30 to 40 minutes each, so you can do it in an afternoon, which is what I did yesterday, and I would recommend that. So
just I watched Birds of Prey.
Yeah, your thoughts?
I thought it was pretty solid, and my wife liked it too. So I guess we thought it was better than you did. It wasn't like, I don't know if it was great, but I mean, it, for a DC movie, I've seen way worse. We also watched Bad Boys for Life. It. Oof.
Yeah.
Oof.
Bad.
Yeah.
I was hoping to watch that, but based on that recommendation, I'll probably just wait. But no, I didn't hate Birds of Prey. I thought I thought the people saying it was one of the best DC movies ever, was a bit much. But it was worth watching, and I didn't hate it. The only thing, I guess, that I found troubling about it was Harley Quinn's voice in Suicide Squad.
Oh, I don't like the way she talks.
No, it was fine in Suicide Squad because she wasn't talking that much.
Yeah.
But when you're narrating it in that voice, it's like,
it's tough to listen to. She's from Jersey.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like that.
And then I started that Penny Dreadful, which seems interesting. Kind of a period piece about, you know, Dracula and Frankenstein and all
that.
Have
you watched Fleabag?
I have not. The wife watched it. She loved it.
Okay.
I take it back. I watched some of it with her. It just didn't resonate with me.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure if I want to watch it or not. I've heard differing reports.
Yeah, I gave it a shot, but it's just like, this isn't for me. So, 713-780-ESPN. 985 says, I loved Upload, but Bad Boys for Life was complete utter garbage. So disappointed.
Yeah, it was not good.
Boy, that's... I don't want to say I'm shocked to hear that, because you can take things too far with movies. I just, with those two guys, I just assumed it was going to be pretty good, because I like the first two a lot. But Pennington, says I was at that table late Saturday, it was a pretty good game, Pelly Rat. Yeah, it was fun, man. I've really enjoyed just interacting and playing and having some fun with people. It was a good night, man. It's been a good escape, and you know, I've been trying to find things to keep occupied with, and so that, and I've been playing this stupid golf app on my phone, and you know, just you know, trying to pass some time here, because like I said, in a couple of weeks I'm going to get really busy again, so I'm just kind of you know, just kind of cruising now and having some fun with stuff and getting ready for being busy. So, yeah. Somebody says Fleabag was great. Season 2 was definitely funnier. I don't know. I found the character kind of annoying. And that's one consistent thing with me is I really have to like the character. And that's one thing about that upload. I really did like all the characters. They were really interesting. And it was just, it was well written. And I said it for an afternoon. It's worth burning through. I actually think you would like it. So
I might give it a try. I got too much stuff, and I'm still watching The Wire. I've been watching maybe like an episode or two every night, and my wife is watching it with me for the first time, and we just finished season 2, which is my least favorite season of The Wire, the Doc season.
Right.
But and this is probably my third or fourth time watching The Wire through. And I still think it's a weak season relative to the rest, but it's still a pretty damn good season of television.
Yeah, I think I think it's really good. It just doesn't quite measure up to the other seasons, but that doesn't mean it sucks or anything. I still thought it was really good.
Yeah.
281 asked, do you guys have a Sports Map article about the best TV series you'd recommend? I might do something like that this week. I've got to write a couple columns. I don't know. I haven't really been struck with an idea yet, other than I think I want to write about Olajuwon, because I actually covered him almost from the moment he stepped foot on the UH campus, and just how his career evolved and some of the greatness of what he was. That this Jordan thing has kind of reminded me just how great Olajuwon was.
Oh, that's another guy who doesn't get enough credit. And that's what I hate when people get into the conversation about, like, when you hear the greatest of all time conversation and people try to, and again, I've already said the greatest of all time conversation should really be between LeBron James and Michael Jordan, and really there shouldn't be anyone else discussed. But inevitably, you'll hear Wilt Chamberlain's name come up and Kareem's name come up, and Bill Russell's name come up, but you never hear Hakeem with those guys, and I don't get why.
Yeah, and when you talk about Bill Russell, that was an 8-team league with basically the first superstar team put together. So I didn't see him play. I saw grainy footage of him playing, and I wasn't all that impressed, but it's hard for me to sit here and tell you, oh, well, he's not as good as Olajuwon because, you know, I didn't see the guy play, just like I didn't see Wilt Chamberlain play. I just read about Wilt Chamberlain and saw footage of Wilt Chamberlain. Olajuwon I saw from the get-go, and there was a stretch where there wasn't a more dominant single player in the game. And we've talked about this before, how few titles have been won by teams with one superstar. And that was Olajuwon. Dirk did it. It's a pretty small group. And it was pretty amazing, but he had to grow up and develop and change over time and mellow out a little bit. He was really difficult early in his career, and I think I'm writing it in my head now, so that's probably what I'll write for Wednesday. But I might do something on, ten binge watch shows now, but although people are starting to get back out, so I'm not sure there is many people on lockdown now, so I don't know how useful that would be, but I'll hit up Hakeem for sure this week. So,
and Jong is actually the one who says it. Bill Russell played when players had to have second jobs, and there were 8 teams in the league. That's why I'm not buying into Bill Russell's greater than Hakeem or Kareem for that matter, or Wilt Chamberlain, who I never even saw play. And I'll be honest, what I saw of Kareem was basically like, I don't think that was Kareem. I don't think that's the Kareem that everybody. Just like what I really knew of Larry Bird. Like by the time I got to watching basketball, what I saw of Larry Bird, that's not the great Larry Bird. You know what I mean?
No.
Like I think that we get into this nostalgic mode where what we saw when we were kids or whatever. I think that's just what sticks with people. But I do think that center conversation is funny, that Bill Russell and Wilt Chamberlain and Kareem get thrown into it, and Hakeem never makes the talk.
Well, I did see Kareem in his prime, and he was just different. When you talk about the kind of centers that you throw in there. He was just a different cat, man, because he was so tall and he had this unstoppable shot, and he was so athletic for the size he was. So, I mean, I get why people have him at the top of that conversation, but to me, Akeem and Shaq both deserve to be mentioned with those guys, and I don't think they are nearly enough. I don't think, even though Shaq's more recent, I don't think he gets the love in that conversation that he should. And then you have to start determining, well, what position was Tim Duncan really? Because if...
And Tim Duncan's a guy who will always be sort of... he'll always be sort of overlooked. And I think Tim Duncan deserves more discussion than he'll ever get in that all-time great conversation, because he's not sexy.
No, he wasn't. He was boring, but he was great. I mean, he just did everything so well. And, I mean, that guy was... That's another one. I don't know whether you put him in the power forward conversation or the center conversation. If you put him in the power forward conversation, I think he's the best to play.
And oh, I don't think it's even close.
Yeah.
Sorry, Karl Malone. Sorry, Charles Barkley. I don't think there's a conversation.
But if you put him in the center conversation, then I think it's a different animal because, you know, and I'm not even, let's just toss Wilt and Bill Russell out of this. Although the best argument I ever heard for Wilt Chamberlain from a guy who covered him was that they changed the rules to slow Wilt down, and Michael Jordan, they changed the rules to let him travel and score easier. And that's why he has Wilt ahead of Jordan. But again, well, I never saw that. But.
And that's the other thing that you'll hear in the conversation, like the conversations that tell you Hakeem isn't in that group with Wilt and those guys, is they didn't keep block stats when Wilt was playing, but they, from the data that they did have, they had 112 or 115 game data set, and he averaged like 8.8 blocks per game. Like, yeah. Hakeem's not the greatest shot blocker to ever play this game. Wilt Chamberlain is, but you also have to consider Wilt Chamberlain was probably playing against a bunch of white dudes who were my size.
Right, right, and he was a legitimate 7'1". All right, let's take a quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. So, do we have Lance?
That sounds like, oh, okay. I know.
Somebody said, saw 95 on the thermometer. Today had to be a Rona killer day. The numbers will start dropping. Yeah, it was pleasant this morning, and then I haven't been outside since about, I took the dog out a little before the show started, and it was like, whoa, this has gotten warmer. And Lamont brings up a good point. Team sports, I do not pump up players I've never seen play. When it comes to single-person sports like track and field, boxing is different. Yeah, although, again, if I didn't see a guy, there's so much to me is how you interpret what you see, right? And if I didn't see a guy play on a regular basis, to me, the best running back I've ever seen is Barry Sanders. And what's that?
No Lance.
Okay, no Lance. But in my mind, the best running back I've ever seen is Barry Sanders. And somebody mentioned Wayne Gretzky. Wayne Gretzky is the best hockey player I've ever seen. And I saw Gordie Howe as a kid. I got to meet Gordie Howe as a kid, which was the biggest thrill of my life. And I always thought he was the greatest. And then you see Gretzky and you're like, wow. So, anyway.
Yeah, it's weird, you know, like Lamont, and he says, I can look at Ali and say he would whoop or lose against Tyson. Easier to judge single-person sports in different eras than team sports. But boxing, to me, is one of the toughest ones because, you know, and like track and field, to me, guy A ran the 100 meters in this time, guy B ran it in this time. that's pretty easy to compare. When you're talking about how one guy's style would have matched up with another, man, that's tough. That is tough.
This is probably an
unpopular opinion as well. And I know almost everyone will tell you that Muhammad Ali is the greatest boxer of all time. And again, I'm not here to argue that he's not. But the guy did have some inconsistency in his career. And do I think he's the most impactful boxer ever? Certainly. Yeah, I don't think that's even there. I don't think there's a discussion to be had. But then you'll also hear people who are like Sugar Ray Robinson, and then that now you're going back in even further into like into the 40s where you couldn't watch fights on television; you had to watch or hear them on the radio. And Joe Louis, like I couldn't tell you how good those guys really were, or Jack Johnson, who like I think he was fighting in the 1800s. I have no idea. But I think maybe you can go by era or something, but it's tough to just lump all those guys into one big pile and say, this guy was the best, this guy was the best. So for me, the best guy I've seen box in my lifetime is Sugar Ray Leonard. And obviously when you go with boxing, you're talking about size versus size. So saying, could Sugar Ray Leonard beat Muhammad Ali isn't a fair discussion. But it's too hard to compare these dudes who fought back in the Stone Ages with dudes of today or even the 60s. I think it's very difficult to compare all that stuff.
All I could hear while you were talking was the argument in Coming to America about Rocky Marciano and Joe Louis.
Right.
But the problem with all that is we romanticize that era because boxing was the sport in that era.
Yes.
So those
just like
guys,
Babe Ruth.
Those guys, right. Those guys were the LeBrons of their time, or the Tiger Woods of their time. And that's why people look at that and say, oh, this guy was the greatest. Well, I don't know. I never saw him. I've read a lot about him. I highly recommend, if you haven't seen it, there's a Muhammad Ali documentary. I can't remember what it's called. I think it's on HBO. And it was basically based on his Dick Cavett Show appearances, and it was fascinating. And it went through his whole career, and the stretches where he was losing fights, there were kind of reasons for it. And a lot of times he was fighting before he was ready, and you know, he sat out for a while and all kinds of stuff. When he was at his best, he was almost unbeatable. But no, it's hard to be at your best all the time. We saw that with Tyson when he finally lost. It was it can happen. Because mentally and physically, you have to be sharp for so long. That's why what Mayweather's done is really impressive. The guy has been able to consistently be a winner for a long time. Maybe not the prettiest style in the world, but damn effective. But if you get a chance to watch that, and I know you like documentaries, I think you'll really gain an appreciation for Ali. Now, it's a lot like the Jordan thing. It's very slanted towards him, and but it also focuses on the negatives and when he lost. So definitely definitely worth checking out. Somebody said, if you had a time machine, would you rather go back to a certain era of basketball or boxing? See, I think we have the best basketball now.
I do too. And I don't think that's it. I mean, that's why I say, like, if you inserted an athlete like LeBron James into the era where Bill Russell was playing, oh, my God. I mean, he would have just been unstoppable. You want to hear a really, and this might be blasphemous to the old people who listen to the show, but I don't care about that. I can't worry about it.
What are you talking about, AJ? What the hell?
Like, think about, like, give me a, I'm not talking about, like, the best guy in the league today, but give me a big man today who's pretty good. Like, a four or a
Embiid.
Five. Okay, Embiid. Joel Embiid. Here's a, this is a hard fact that people probably will have a hard time accepting. I would bet my life savings that if you could put Joel Embiid today in a time machine and put him back in the late 1950s, he would eat Bill Russell's head. He would eat it. He's much more skilled. He's physically just, it's guys are different now. It's a different, physically there's such a gap. And you know what? You may say the same thing about boxing, though, too, because
You know, guys back then didn't understand nutrition and training the way they do today. Like, athletes of today are just better. And it's not that they're – and you can say there's intangibles like toughness and, you know, things like that that could make – it could make an argument for the other side. But physically, they are just better because they've got better training regimens. They've been specialized in a sport for years and years. Nutrition has gotten them, and vitamins, things like that, health, some of them steroids. They're just better athletes today.
Yeah, that I don't think you can dispute. I really don't. And, you know, that's why when I hear the Jim Brown arguments, like, okay, I mean, he was clearly better than everybody else for his time. But,
like, if you put Adrian Peterson in that time, Adrian Peterson would have been better than Jim Brown, I think. And again, people over 50 are going to be like, how dare you? I just think that's the facts. I don't think, and this is, again, I don't think this is going to be a popular opinion, but if you put who's the best pitcher today, Verlander or Clayton Kershaw, you put these guys in a time machine and take them back to the days of Ty Cobb, I don't think Ty Cobb's hitting 400 with guys like that throwing the ball to him. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, I tend to agree, but the reality is there's no way to tell. You don't know, and you know, when it's funny because I remember that old Gatorade commercial where they're showing the old Florida offensive lineman, and it's just a bunch of fat guys, right? Well, that's changed a lot, and I mean, hell, you can have a gym in your home now.
Yes,
guys couldn't do that back then. So. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. And somebody asks, is there a sport where the players were better back then? I don't know. I really don't. That's somebody says players today are soft and flop and aren't physically tough. Again.
Dude, I don't know. Like, look, I mean, you can say what you want about physical toughness. Like, you can't tell, like, you put LeBron's body in a time machine and put him back in the 60s, there's no one who's strong enough to even check him. That person didn't exist then.
Yeah, and people talk about intangibles and drive, and Embiid doesn't have that, and Bill Russell did. How do you know what Bill Russell had? Unless you're 80 years old.
Right.
And saw him. I mean, that's the thing.
Bill Russell he was dominating dudes who were cab drivers in the off season. That's what he was doing.
And so was Wilt, for that matter.
Yeah.
And so much is context, is what are you going up against? And those guys didn't face much. All right, let's take a very quick break. Please don't go anywhere. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And before we get to the gym of the day, yeah, I'm not really a fan of these types of conversations, but boy, people are really into it. Somebody did bring up two sports that I think are worth talking about, may have been better back in the day. One being golf, because Nicklaus and those guys didn't have the equipment that these guys have now.
Well, yeah, I mean, I say the same thing for tennis. You know,
yeah,
and really, baseball to a degree. I mean, the bats back then weren't nearly like, that's not the maple bats like today.
No, but I think there's less of a difference there than there is with these graphite clubs versus wooden clubs and stuff like that. So that one I'll listen to, and then somebody asked the Secretariat's time still the fastest, just thinking about how athletes have evolved, curious if horses have. Horses have evolved, but not in a good way, and I think part of it is there's been so much inbreeding over the years that, yeah, I think it was a better era back when Secretariat won. Now, you can look at his times, and yes, he had the three fastest times for the Triple Crown races, the times are a little misleading when it comes to horse racing because there's a lot of things that go into it. But that's one that, yeah, I think you can make a pretty good case. So 713-780-3776. Let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right, we had a pretty good conversation about pizza last week, as you recall. And a lot of people were weighing in on what their favorite pizzas were. Well,
it's a pizza that poisoned Michael Jordan.
Indeed, could have been. Well, if you've been ordering from a place called Pasquale's Pizza and Wings lately.
I love this story.
You've actually been ordering from Chuck E. Cheese. And apparently, Chuck E. Cheese realized that, hey, nobody's going to buy our pizza for pizza. So they decided to change it to Pasquale's Pizza and Wings, which, okay, I guess Pasquale's the name of the rat. And it says they use fresh homemade pizza dough, just like Chuck E. Cheese, but it's a different pizza that features a thicker crust and extra sauce, giving consumers a more flavorful, more premium pizza experience.
Yeah, no thanks.
Yeah, I mean, even if Chuck E. Cheese improved its pizza, I'm still out.
Yeah, that's I like I said, I wouldn't buy it for $5 when they were selling them for $5 by my house. No, thank you.
Yeah, it's but I mean, if you were Chuck E. Cheese, wouldn't you do something like that?
Yeah,
try to move some pizza. I mean, it's kind of smart, but
I mean, you got to do something. I mean, and you like you said, no one's buying Chuck E. Cheese pizza. So, no. Yeah, you call it that. Yeah, you at least got a shot. I don't know who's buying Pasquale's pizza either. You know, I would have just called it. I don't know what I would have called it, but Pasquale's probably wouldn't have crossed my mind. I don't think people go to Chuck E. Cheese for the pizza. Chuck E. Cheese is just one of these people, or one of these companies that they're basically like bars and gyms. They need to open back up before they can make any money.
Right. It's a place you take your kids where they go play, and the pizza's just okay. It's pizza for kids who don't know any better. But hey, props to them for trying something. But I now know.
The word is out now.
Yeah, Pasquale's pops up on my Uber Eats, I will pass. So
even for $5.
Yeah. That's your Zadok Jeweler's Gem of the Day.
The gem of the day, it's the gem of the day, the Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Somebody says, obviously not the best pizza, but how long has it been since you guys have gone? Chuck E. Cheese pizza is actually pretty good.
I went there maybe 2 years ago, I want to say for my kid's sixth birthday party, and it was awful. Pasquale's, not great.
Yeah, I would say it's probably been 7 or 8 years when one of my kids went to a birthday party there.
But I've also made no bones about it. I am a bit of a food snob in a lot of ways. So if you like it, cool, good for you. It's just not for me.
Yeah, I just feel like I have better pizza options. And it's not someplace I would seek out and go. Because I don't need to anymore. Now, when I have grandkids, if I have to go to the damn grandkid parties, which I hope is not. I'm curious, is that a thing? Do you have to go to grandkid birthday parties?
Yeah, my parents go to my kids' birthday parties.
Okay. Well, then I might, so I can't say I'll never have it again, so I can't tell you if you're right or wrong. Because I probably will at some point. I'm assuming my kids will have kids. And, you know, that's if I'm alive, which. Yeah, you know, but I'll be eating better pizza until then, for whatever that's worth. I really loved it when my kids got old enough to do their parties at Dave and Buster's.
Yeah,
because
they got booze.
I could go sit at the bar and play my silly horse racing game, and
right.
They could go to town. for hours.
Just hand your kids a 20 and be like, I'll see you in half an hour, and you can get some more.
Yep. Yep. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. 281 says ESPN says the Texans had the worst offseason. Can you believe that?
What?
Really? That's not what I heard from Bill O'Brien. He did everything in the best interest of the team. Capital T, capital E, capital A, capital M, just in case you couldn't spell it.
Have you been called Fred O'Brien recently on the internet?
I have not. Were you?
Because I've recently been called AJ O'Brien.
Okay.
That's a new thing because I've broken up the radio station here.
Ah.
Yeah.
They do know that O'Brien has total control and you actually work with other people.
Well, that doesn't matter to Twitter. You know that. Yeah, the reality is I'm the one. I unceremoniously fired Raheel and Barry and replaced them with Josh Ennis. I mismanaged the salary cap. I did a lot of things wrong. So I am AJ O'Brien, according to many people.
Ah. Yeah, I took some grief this weekend from people, too, over all that. And I just sort of, I've said what I'm going to say about it. I think they're not related. And if you don't want to buy that, then there's no conversation for us to have. Think what you want to think. But that is the impression that people got, was that, well, we chased these guys off so we could bring this guy in. And that's not at all what happened. And you've explained what happened. And people either will believe it or not. And those who don't, I'm sorry. I mean, none of us wanted to change anything. But my favorite was, how can you let AJ do all this stuff? But, dude, you have no idea how our company works. And, yeah, yes, AJ is in charge of programming. But guess what? There's a lot of people involved in these conversations. And David and Todd and everybody else. And it's a really good team thing. But, you know, and everybody bounces stuff off of each other. This isn't Bill O'Brien. This guy does everything. This guy has ideas. They get talked about. And then you make the best move that you think at the time. And frankly, I think that as happy as I was with everything, I think we're going to come out of this pretty well. And it was almost a fluke that you were able to do what you did. So I think it'll be interesting. But listen, I love those guys, and I miss them, and I hope someday we have them all back. But this is the Ronaverse, man. I mean, it's a different animal. And we're all doing the best we can to try to, to try to make it through. And I know a lot of people's companies are going through the same thing, and you guys are having to make hard decisions. And sometimes you wind up being the person that's a hard decision. That sucks. it really does. But it's a different world right now. I hope it starts coming back. Does anybody know when the bars are going to open again?
I think it's soon, and just in different. It's not like it's not going to be open at 100%, but I think they're open soon.
Friday, I believe.
Friday. Okay.
Yep, I saw the brewery by me down in Pearland, Backfish. They're opening their tap room on Friday.
Nice, nice.
All right.
Yeah, because that's the only thing that I'm really looking forward to getting back to doing, and yes, I will social distance and I'll wear a mask and I'll do all that, but it'll be kind of fun. I just miss sitting in a bar, having a drink, watching something on TV. It's a small thing, but if we could get back to that. Eric Sandler just tweeted, he said bars on Friday at 25% capacity. So I know some of them have been open because they're food places, which it's kind of a stretch that they're food places. But I will. I'm looking forward to getting back to some of my neighborhood places. Just having a few drinks. All right, let's take a.
We got to take a break and reconnect Fred. Fred sounds horrible.
Oh really? All right, let's try that. All right, be right back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. I do what I want when I'm wanting to. My soul so cynical. So you're a tough guy, like you're really rough guy. Just can't get enough.